following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Read one more passage to you this morning. It's from Luke chapter 22. It says, "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen one of God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, 'This is the king of the Jews.' Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise.' That was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.' And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all of his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things." Acquaintances, not disciples, not apostles, or even believers, just acquaintances, people like us.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. What a day. Shalom. What a day. They just killed my friend today. Friend. I don't feel much like a friend right now. I would have called myself a friend until today. But now I feel more like just an acquaintance, maybe. I would have called myself maybe not a good friend, but at least a friend. Not a great friend like Peter and James and John and Thomas and Mary and Martha and Salome, but at least a friend. But acquaintance makes more sense right now. I loved to hear the stories of his good friends. You see, they had followed him for years, over 3 years. I had just begun to follow the Master, Jesus, just begun. But I loved to hear the stories of those that had walked with him for years, that the healings and the miracles and the teaching and his courage and his amazing love for people like us. So when those stories came to our village, just up on the Jordan Plains above Jericho, oh, I listened not just with my ears, but I listened with my heart and with my soul. I soaked up all the details. And I decided right then and right there, I determined in my heart, and I told my sisters, I said, I must go find this man that all these stories come to us from. And I must find out if it's real, if these are true stories. And I told them, if they are, then I will follow him with all of my heart. So that day, I packed up this bedroll, and I just began to search. I followed the stories wherever they led, and it seemed like day after day after day and week after week, I just missed him. He had just been in that village or that town in that city. I know that I had to be near him at one point, but he had gone. Until I came one day into the city of Jericho, out by the Jordan River. I was on my way, like everyone else, to Jerusalem for the Passover. That's where we belong, at Passover. To worship God appropriately, to thank him for delivering our families, our ancestors, our nation from bondage in Egypt. When I came into Jericho that day, it was filled with all kinds of travelers, but there was this one multitude of people gathered around this one man, and I thought, this might be him. And it was. And I watched as this multitude moved slowly, like multitudes do, through the cities, the streets of Jericho. And then he stopped. Jesus stopped. And I'm listening to everything that he's saying and watching him touch people and heal people. But he stopped and he looks up into a tree. And he calls a man down out of the tree. His name was Zacchaeus. And he said, Zacchaeus, I'm eating dinner at your house tonight. You'd better get out of the tree. And so he came down from the tree. And did Jesus know who this man was? All of us out there on the plains of the Jordan knew Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. Let me just say, we didn't get along with Zacchaeus. He always took more from us than was right. Jesus hanging out with a tax collector. But something happened to the tax collector that night at dinner. I didn't get to go into the house, but when Zacchaeus came out, he came out with bags of money to repay the people that he had stolen from. Something had changed in that man's heart. And this multitude just was so thrilled at what they were seeing. And I knew that what I had found was the one that would make the change. Do you know what I mean by the change? Do you ever look around at this world that we live in and say to yourself, really? This is as good as it gets? Won't life ever be right? Do you ever feel that way? And there was this hope that Jesus was the one that would bring the change, and something in my heart changed that night. And I said, you've got me. I'm following you wherever you go. And his disciples, they embraced me. They said, welcome. And we made our way over the next few days from Jericho up the Jericho Road to Jerusalem. I know we were going there for the Passover, but I knew that the change was about to happen. And Jesus would be our king, and something, maybe everything, was about to be made right. But when we came into Jerusalem, it was different. It was different than any Passover that I remember. Oh, it was an amazing week. Day after day after day, Jesus and all of us would go into the temple area, and he would teach, and he would preach, and he would heal. He turned over the tables of the money changers, and we were all at the back going, yes. They were always stealing from us, taking more than was right. It was going to happen right before our eyes. And his courage as he faced the religious leaders was just amazing. And yet his love in everything that he said, I knew that it was about to happen. But then Jesus changed the whole tone, and he told us, this is the end for me. I thought, what could he be talking about? The end. This is the beginning. This is when it all comes together. What do you mean, the end? No way, the end. But he told us in details that he would die shortly. Couldn't understand it. And then yesterday, it was Passover. Jesus took his 12 closest friends and they went away by themselves. The rest of us, we gathered together and we celebrated the Passover. But that night, Jesus got arrested while he was praying. And then he was dragged through the city from one group to another. Two trials happened before the morning was over today. And Pilate condemned him to death. And Jesus, carrying a cross, was taken through our city. People shouting horrible things at him. Us, me and my other acquaintances, we followed at what we thought was maybe a safe distance, trying to find the courage maybe to rescue him. but it just wasn't there, at least not in me. And we followed at this distance as they took him out to the place of the skull, just outside the walls, and they crucified him between two criminals, two thieves. I couldn't believe what was happening. But as we stood at the back of that crowd, I couldn't believe what he said. He shouted from the cross at one point. Right at the beginning, he cried out, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Forgive who? Them? Me? Us? I continued to watch through this day. At one point, it just went black like midnight. Later on, the ground began to shake, and I thought, oh, God, maybe this is the end for all of us. But then the lights, they came back on. The sun came out again, and Jesus spoke again. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's from the Psalms of David. I know that psalm well, and he certainly looked forsaken. But then he cried out again. He said, I'm thirsty, and they gave him something to drink. Then he said, it's over. He said, it's finished. And then he cried out one last time, and he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he died. There were a couple of men. I didn't really know either one of them. You could tell they were wealthy men, just by the way they were dressed. In other words, not like this. And they took the body down and wrapped it up and carried it away. And then I said to myself and to my friends, what do we do now? All of our hope was in him. What do we do? I mean, where do we go? We don't even really have a leader among us. All of us had become cowards instantly. Where would we go? I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. But something inside me hoped that maybe this terrible end was the beginning of something else. I recalled this one passage from the book written by the most troubled man that has ever lived, Job. And he said this, and it somehow came to mind. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And in the end, he will stand on this earth. And Job said, though my flesh, it be destroyed, with my eyes I will see God and not another. And it began to rise in me again. And I don't know what to do now. My friend just died. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I'll stay in Jerusalem until Passover concludes, and then I don't know, maybe I'll go back home, up to the Jordan Plains, back to my business. I don't know, but I do know this, that I will continue to pray. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall still love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words that I command you this day, they shall always be in your heart. I don't understand what just happened, and I don't know what I'll do next, but I will continue to trust in the love and the wisdom of God. And we'll just see. Maybe there is some strange new beginning just around the corner. Shalom to you. Don't stop hoping. Jesus promised that though he died, he would rise again. I can only imagine what it was like for the people who were called acquaintances at the end of the road, who had probably formerly been at least disciples and apostles, believers, friends. Now they're just called the acquaintances. Did they have a surprise waiting for them? How many of you know what happens in a couple of days? 3 days. Anybody here know that the story is not over? But don't you forget that they didn't know that. Though Jesus had tried and tried to tell them, they didn't get it. They didn't believe the end of the story. I think we might talk about that on Saturday night and Sunday morning, the rest of the story. But today we're here to remember the offering, the sacrifice, that men just like that guy witnessed with their own eyes and went away for three hard nights just wondering, how will it ever make sense anymore? Well, one more opportunity at the Messiah, gone. Guess it wasn't him. Searching their hearts and looking for hope. But notice this, not a one of them was waiting at the tomb with a countdown timer, waiting for him to come out. And when they were told, they didn't even believe it. But what he'd done that day, tell the person beside you, it was for you. It was for you. And it was for me. Sing with me.
You gave me hope. You made me whole at the cross. You took my place. You showed me grace. Light from the sun, age to age.
Father, we prepare our hearts for this very solemn, serious remembrance of the passion, the suffering, the sacrifice of Jesus. God, we search our hearts and we all confess to you, Lord, that we deserve punishment for our sins, punishment that would kill us, Lord, punishment that would annihilate us, punishment that would cause us to perish. We all deserve that, Lord. But Father, as year after year after year, the Jewish people would look at the sacrifice, the pure white snowy lamb stained with its own blood, and transferring their sins to that innocent beast, Lord, walking away with hope. This afternoon, Lord, we cast our cares and our sins, and we confess them, Lord, before you. And we look to the holy, spotless Lamb, stained with his own blood because of our sin. And we remember, Lord, what it cost to save us. And oh God, we want to be more than acquaintances. We want to be more than just onlookers and spectators, more than an audience, Lord. We want to be participants in this life with you. We want to be your friends, your great friends, Lord, your faithful friends. And so, Lord, right now, we pray this prayer to you together. And we surrender to you again. And we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. The ushers are going to come forward and distribute the elements of communion. They're going to come around a little differently today than normal. We're going to send the bread down the aisle. We're going to pause for a moment, and then we're going to send the cup down the aisle. Hold both of them until everybody's been served, and then we'll partake together. You can do it. It's not that hard. You take the bread and you sort of hold it in those three fingers. Then you take the cup and pass the tray. Okay? It's pretty easy. And we'll worship as the elements are spread.
How merciful the cross. How powerful the blood. How beautiful your eyes open for us. Open for us. No greater love. God's only Son, Jesus, Jesus. No other name. Mighty
greater love.
No greater love. God's only Son, Jesus, Jesus. No other name mighty, mighty to save. Jesus, Jesus. I will carry your name, carry.
Every single one of us is a preacher. You're preaching something with your words and with your deeds and with your life. All of you, all of us are preachers. And we just said, Lord, I will declare your name in all of my ways. And by that, you know, we mean through what we say and what we do and what we post. How we drive and how we relate to one another in our own homes, how we relate to people who quite frankly hate the idea of the gospel in all of our days and all of our ways, through what we say and what we do and how we live and how we touch people's lives. I preach conviction to myself when I say those things. I want everything I do and everything I say, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind, to be acceptable to Him. Maybe there's areas of our life that we need to clean up as we consider what the blood was all about. It was shed for sins, not so we could stay in sin, but so we could be free from sin. Say those three words with me. Free from sin. Free from the penalty of sin. Free from the hold of sin. I can live the life that God made me to live because of the blood of Jesus, the innocent lamb that was sacrificed for me. Paul said, when we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we preach the Lord's death until He comes. This is just one way that we preach. As we pause and we seriously and soberly remember this sacred sacrifice of Christ. This meal was meant to be a sacred reminder that somebody died for you. You know who it was? It was your friend. Your best friend died for you on the cross that day. It was your friend that did that. If you'd been among that crowd, you wouldn't have known what to do. If you sat around the table and you heard Jesus insist that He would die before the next sunrise or sunset, you wouldn't have known what to do. You would have been confused for 3 days. But thank God we know the conclusion. And we will celebrate that heartedly, heartfully, and wholeheartedly this weekend. Amen? But right now, take the bread and listen. The night that Jesus was betrayed, that part of the phrase just always gets me. The night He was betrayed, He took bread. And He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples. And He said, take and eat. This is my body that's given for you. Let's eat the bread together and remember the body of Christ that was offered for us, the sinless one. Let's eat, remember. Oh, Jesus, thank you. And then He took a big cup. A big cup. And He passed it around the table. And 12 sets of lips came up to that cup. And they drank. After Jesus said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant and my blood that is shed for the sins of the world. This is what changed everything. The sacrifice, the death, the shed blood of Jesus. It wasn't an accident. It was on purpose. It was confusing, but it was wonderful as we look back on it. Father, we take this cup and the bread we've just consumed, Lord, and we thank you for what it preaches to us, that we were so loved by the best friend we've ever had, the Son of God, Son of Man, God in flesh, Messiah, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Counselor, the Mighty God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, befriended by the King. We thank you for the blood that was shed for our sins. We confess our need of cleansing even today, and we receive your mercy now. We thank you, Lord, for loving us so perfectly. In Jesus' name, take the cup. Remember the blood of Jesus that makes you clean. Drink. Amen. The blood of Jesus changes things, doesn't it? I want to see the hands of those today that are sick or dealing with sickness of any kind, sickness, disease, any kind of affliction. Lift your hand up. We want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you right now. It's Pat. We've been praying for you, Pat. We're praying for a young lady named Katie. We're praying for Bill Stanley with Bill, it's cancer. Katie, it's meningitis. And I believe that there's healing in the blood of Jesus. That blood that was shed then, there's healing in it. Father God, I pray for these whose hands are lifted up and our hands are upon them, Father. And we pray in Jesus' name that you would bring healing to their body and glorify yourself, Lord. We will not take the glory for any of it, God. Glorify yourself by extending your hand to bring healing in the name of Jesus, Lord. Bring salvation to those who confess their sins now, Lord. Bring wholeness and bring hope to those that cast their cares upon you. And let us rise up from this place, Lord, ready to preach you in every way, in all of our ways. We commit all of this to you, Father. We pray for our brothers and sisters. I pray for Katie right now and more surgery. And God, I pray that she'd be able to keep that elbow on that, on what's left of that right arm. Lord, we just declare a victory there, that you would just curse that sickness completely, Lord. And let her keep that stump of an arm that's left there, Lord. We commit her to you and Bill, Lord, to eradicate that cancer in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory, Lord. Thank you for your love. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Let's stand together. There's not a ceremony for it, but it happens every time we have communion. It's called the breaking of the cup. But if you broke your cup, make sure you pick up the pieces and take it with you. But we want to close right now just blessing him. The only sacrifice we have to give now, there's a sacrifice of our life, but he calls for the sacrifice of praise. You don't have to shed your blood for your salvation. You happy about that? I'm thrilled with that. But we get to lift up a sacrifice of praise. Let's do that. This is our last song when it's over. Grace and peace on you. Go forth and proclaim the goodness of Jesus in this land where we live. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.